Welcome to the Intuitively You podcast, where we chat all things intuitive eating, body image, finding peace with food, and so much more. I'm your host, Jen Baswick, intuitive eating dietitian and embodiment coach, and I'm your guide along your journey to food freedom so that you can improve your relationship with food and your body to no longer hold you back from living your best, most fulfilling life. We'll be chatting about all the real talk, the tips and tricks, the struggles, and most importantly, how you, yes you, can finally find peace with food and your body. After each episode, I'll be sure to wrap it up with some takeaways for you to implement in your life, so make sure to stick around until the end. Now, let's dive into today's episode. We are here in this episode today with Lorna Costa. I'm so excited to have you here, Lorna, and chat about your journey. But yeah, welcome to the Intuitively You podcast.
Thank you. I'm super, super excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And like I said, we'll be diving into your journey of overcoming binge eating and struggles with food and what all that looks like. But before we do, I would love for you to kind of give a quick intro or overview of who you are, what you do, so everyone knows, you know, who we're chatting with.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Lorna Costa, and I am a binge eating coach. So I really specialize in helping clients who feel impulsive with food. They feel like they're going through like these out of body experiences where they just don't have any control with food. It feels like somebody's like taking over their body and doing things with food that just don't feel like them. And I really specialize in using brain-based tools to help my clients rewire their brain so they don't feel that urge or that impulse to binge or self-sabotage with food.
Yeah, the out of body, out of control, everything happening in our mind. So important to look at that stuff with binge eating. So I'm glad you're, you know, spreading the word of helping folks overcome those struggles, because as you know, there are so many people out there struggling with these things and often struggling with these things in silence. So yeah, I am always appreciative of anyone spreading the message of this stuff all the time, because we need more people out there talking about food in this way. That's not more of the like diet culture narrative.
100%. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, in light of talking about your journey and really understanding, you know, how you got to really how you are today and where you are today, take us back to the beginning first. So always a, you know, funny thing to do when we are in the place of feeling really solid with food is like this reflection backwards. But I think it's so helpful to hear other people's stories and, mm-hmm. you know what happened, where we came from, and like what we went through with food to get inspired. So we'd love for you to kind of take us back to the beginning. Like, what was going on in your relationship with food? Where did those struggles start? What did that look like for you?
100%. And I love sharing my story as well too, because I think, like you mentioned, binge eating is so isolating. Like, nobody talks about this. And you know, I remember just feeling crazy around food. Like, I'm like, I'm broken. Nobody else thinks about food as much as me, until you start to realize like there's actually so many people experiencing the exact same thing as you're going through. And you're like, thank God I'm not alone. But for me, it started when I actually grew up as a competitive dancer, and I didn't think too much about my body. Like, I loved being front and center. I loved the attention. And, you know, I was just always like, I had like a very big, bubbly personality. I love putting myself out there. But one of the dancers who I danced with, had called me fat. And from that moment on, I became so obsessed about, you know, the way that I looked, everything that I was eating. It was grade eight. And normally my mom would pack my lunch, and I started packing my own lunch, like, you know, carrots and celery and fruits and vegetables and no bread and, you know, can't cook with oil and all these things. And I remember just becoming literally obsessed. Like, I thought about food all day. And I would come home after not eating all day because I was like terrified of eating in front of other people. I didn't want people to be like, you know, make comments about how much I was eating. And I'd get home from school and I would raid my fridge. Like it would be from the cookies to the ice cream to the snacks to the granola bars to the, and I just no control. And, you know, the logical thing to do when you're out of control is like, I'm gonna go on another diet. Maybe another diet's gonna fix me. And so I spent 10 years of my life, you know, hopping from diet to diet. Every single diet that you've heard of, I tried because I thought I just wasn't motivated enough, right? I didn't have enough discipline. And I think, you know, this is very common for a lot of people. And I thought if I just like found the perfect diet, I'd have control. And so when, you know, tracking calories and macros didn't work, I would go to like meal plans, and meal plans didn't work. I tried intermittent fasting, then keto, and I realized it wasn't about trying harder. I developed these strong urges that made me feel absolutely crazy around food because through years of dieting, number one, but also through continuously giving into these urges. And I recognize over time that the urges became stronger and stronger and stronger and harder to not give into because I kept giving into those urges. And once I learned, you know, how to become less impulsive with food and I practiced not giving into those strong urges, the urges became less intense over time. And, you know, this is essentially how I was able to really stop my binge eating in short. But that just gave me so much hope to be like, I'm not broken. Like, there's actually nothing wrong with you. You're not lacking motivation. It's just you got to get rid of these urges to help you regain control around food.
Yeah, the urges can feel like they take over, right? And especially like my heart goes out to that, you know, little grade eight version of you who was told something about their body that was jarring and felt like a lot, felt really scary. And, you know, the thing to do about that was to change it, right? And not have that uncomfortable feeling towards your body, which comes in the form of that obsession with food and restricting food. And, you know, my story is very similar to that. Like, I used to dance as well, and the like comparison there and people saying things and being different than peers. And then that stemming into this obsession about what our body looks like and how to change it and how to restrict with food to change that. And of course, that leads to the place of our bodies being like, I need more food, which starts those like impulses. And then food becomes this sense of like soothing. It's meeting your needs, right? Like, it's all these things. And then that becomes so strong for us to turn towards food when we're feeling off in any kind of way. But especially if we're, you know, restricting our bodies from the energy that it literally needs. So those urges are a lot, and they can feel like a lot. And I can really relate to your journey myself as well. And I am curious, what made that shift for you? Like, how did you go from that place of being obsessed with food, doing all the things, really like trying to eat clean, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, of course, being in the binge restrict cycle and then swinging on the other side of going home, feeling just like you have to raid everything, eat everything, and not being able to stop those urges. Like, what was the turning point, I guess, for you in your journey that finally made you almost like I describe it for myself, almost like I like woke up to what was going on. And I was like, okay, this is what's actually happening. Things aren't going the way I want them to. And enough is enough. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. I'm doing something different. Like, what was that turning point for you where things actually started to change that propelled you towards making those changes?
You know, I think for me, after spending 10 years restricting and trying all these different diets, I recognize that like I needed to do something different, you know, and I started to recognize that I had an unhealthy relationship with food because for many years I didn't think I had an unhealthy relationship with food. I didn't even know I was binging. I just thought, again, like I said, like I wasn't trying hard enough. Like I was just like, oh, I'm just sabotaging today. Like, oh, I couldn't stick to my diet today. No, like you're having these urges that are driving you to eat. And once I recognized that, I was like, okay, I don't want to spend the rest of my life thinking about food and tracking calories and, you know, thinking about being a mom one day and like potentially bringing on the struggle to, you know, a child. I'm like, that's not going to happen. So for me, I felt like there was no other choice. Like, I'm like, I know what I want for my life. Like I had a successful career. I had an amazing relationship. And I'm like, this is like the one area of my life that is not going the way that I want. And I'm a very ambitious person. Like if I want something, like I'm going to go after it. So I'm like, I'm going to spend time to heal. I'm going to be more compassionate towards myself. I'm going to, you know, put in the work to heal because it does take work. And I think for me that was like really the pivotal moment of like, you're not going to keep dieting. So this is the other option. Like, let's take time to heal. Let's heal your relationship with food so you can spend the rest of your life just eating like a normal person. And to me, that was worth everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Really like deciding and hitting that, like often we call that like diet bottom when we're just done, right? No more diets. This is not working. Sick of it. And it's, you know, impacting what we want for our lives. And I think that is a very common thought of lots of folks that I work with as well of, wow, if I have kids one day or when I have kids one day or the kids that I already have, I don't want to be passing this stuff on to them because we know kids are like little sponges and will learn through modeling. And if, you know, we're having that kind of relationship with food in front of them, it's kind of inevitable that they take on some of those things. So I think that's also just beautiful to have almost that like multi-generational outlook of it, of having a positive relationship with food into the future and lives of like future kiddos maybe, or whatever that looks like, instead of just being like, how do I fix me? It's like bigger than, than just you. And I think that's beautiful too. So I love that you said that.
No, and I love that you mentioned that too, because like for me, it was like, you know, like even with my partner, you know, my husband, it was like, we had a good relationship, but it's like, I never wanted to be intimate. Going out on dinner dates, like I needed a week in advance notice. I need to know where we're going, what time we're going, like what's the menu, if I'm allowed to eat, like, you know, and I was like snappy with my mom. I was irritable. And I was like, this is actually, like you said, just not about me. Like, I don't even feel like myself right now. And I know that deep down, I am like this loving, compassionate person. And I'm like, I want to get back to her, you know, like that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So that right there is huge. Like these struggles with food, and I felt it for myself too when I was struggling, just takes the life out of you. It's like you become almost this like zombie thinking about food all the time. Like that's 100%. What it feels like. And yeah, on the point of being snappy and irritable and just not feeling like you're, you know, your full expression of your authentic self, I totally, totally feel that. And I think it's such a gift to actually take charge of your healing and be like, yeah, I want to be myself again. I want to feel loving and caring and happy with people I love in my life, instead of like, where are we going for dinner? And how can I like decide what is a safe food for me to eat? Or I don't want to eat anything at this restaurant because none of it is okay in terms of what my rules are about food or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So many things trickle into our life as a whole. Right?
Totally.
Like it's not just about the food.
Yes. It's never about the food.
Never about the food. Yeah. Oh, yes. So really deciding like enough is enough. Diets are done. We're not doing that. And I know you mentioned a little bit about the understanding the urges piece and really kind of getting clear on that. But if you want to paint the picture a little more of how you went from that place of done with it, we're done with diets, and now we're moving into healing, how did that part of your journey go for you? Like, what was your healing process like? Like, what kinds of things did you do to overcome these struggles with food?
Yeah. So, you know, my journey was not linear, and I think nobody's journey was linear, you know, and there were certain things that I experienced on my journey that I wouldn't have even thought would be part of my journey. I started having this fear of letting binge eating go. And I remember telling one of my mentors at the time, I said, I'm done with binging. Like, I don't want it in my life anymore, but there's a part of me that is so scared of letting it go because it brings me happiness and it brings me pleasure. And at the end of the day, when I only have 10 minutes to myself and I, you know, everyone's in bed and I got those 10 minutes, like, I don't want to lose the one thing that's bringing me so much joy right now. And I had to like work through this identity piece of like reminding myself that I'm safe without binge eating. And there's so many other ways that we can experience pleasure in our life. So I really had to like work through that. And also it was like, when you have pleasure in your life and you're so high on your own life, so to speak, you're not going to have the desire to get that false sense of pleasure through binging. And it was just like a lot of rewiring of the mind of like, again, you're safe without binge eating. Like, you know, you actually aren't losing anything. You're gaining your life back. So that was a huge piece of my journey. But one thing I think will be very valuable for your listeners is every time that you feel this urge to binge and you don't give in, you're effectively rewiring your brain out of these habitual cycles. So I kept on telling myself one urge at a time, because it can feel daunting of like, yeah, there's so many more urges coming up. And it's like, if you don't give into this one urge, guess what? Your next urge is going to be less intense. And it's going to be there like that much easier for you to not give in. So my journey was like one step at a time, one urge at a time. And also reminding myself that I'm going to be doing a lot of things backwards than what I was doing with dieting. Like, rewiring your brain is essentially doing everything completely different. Like, diet culture tells you to fear certain foods, and it's like, now I'm going to make peace with foods. Like, you know, diet culture tells you don't honor your cravings, and you have to start honoring your cravings so they don't intensify and turn into urges. So I just reminded myself of like, this journey is going to feel wrong, but it's not wrong. It's just different. And so I really just continued to show up for myself. I took it one day at a time. I practiced not giving into those urges. And that was like a big thing for me, because my urges felt demanding and strong. And it was like, every time I didn't give into those urges, it just became so much easier. And I'd be home alone. I'd have the urge and like literally like be able to just go about my day without feeling this need to go run into the pantry and eat in secret. So, you know, just taking it one step at a time and really just continuing to take action every single day, even if you're feeling uncomfortable in your own skin, or even if you're binging, you know, one binge after another, like, you got to trust the process and take it one step at a time.
Yeah, one step at a time is really good, you know, piece of advice, because it's like you started that off with, like, the journey's not linear and it's going to feel like a little bit of a bumpy road, especially because, you know, most of the time we're all coming from a place of that diet culture mindset of shoulds, rules, whatever about food. This is completely different. And it's, yes, something that our brains are like, what? Like, you're going against years and years and years of all of my beliefs. Like, that's, yeah, not cool. We can't do that.
Yeah.
So your brain's like freaking out because it is so different and backwards of what we're used to and what we're taught and what we're told we should be doing with food. And it seems scary to allow that to happen, but that is what we need for healing. So I love that you pointed that out, like things seemingly are backwards, but we're going to keep going anyways, because that's what we need for healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about trusting the process, right? Because, you know, when you go on a diet and it's like, you can see your body change or you step on the scale, whatever it is. But when it comes to rewiring your brain and getting rid of these urges, you don't physically see a result, you know? So you might be like, it's not working yet. Like, you know, I'm still impulsive. But the way that I like to say it is like, things are working behind the scenes. You know, like every time you don't give into the urge, like you're weakening it, or every time you, you know, you don't restrict the next day after a binge, you're rewiring your brain, or, you know, you have a negative body image thought and you reframe it. Like that's how you're reprogramming the brain. You're not going to tangibly see, you know, yourself transforming, but, you know, you're going to get to a point where you're like, wait, all of a sudden I'm able to go out for dinner and not stress about the calories. Like things like that are going to start to happen for you. And you're like, I'm so glad that I just continue to trust the process, even if it felt like it wasn't working, because now like all of the hard work that I put in is the reason I'm experiencing less urges, less guilt, less impulse with food.
Yeah. And so important to notice like the difference in quote unquote success with this type of work rather than with diets, because it is so much more, I guess, clear cut, objective, even though diets don't work, like still, if we see that success, it's probably not gonna last, but the success in this type of thing, when we're healing a relationship with food, is not as in your face obvious. It's very subjective, very low key, and seemingly small shifts over time that we don't really notice as much. And I was just having this conversation of a graduate of my program talking about like how long it took for her to actually click with, oh yeah, these small shifts are a big deal. Like that actually did really shift things. But in the moment, especially when you're at the beginning of really choosing healing, it seems like things aren't working because it's not the same type of success that we might be trying to strive for or we're used to thinking about, and really trusting that process of this does look different and quote unquote success is going to look different as well as we're going along the journey. So trying to remind yourself that and not panicking about things not being so clear cut along the way, but knowing that you are taking the steps forward, right? So I love that, you know, that whole trust the process piece.
Yes.
Yeah. And I am curious too. I know, you know, you mentioned the paying attention to the urges was like a big thing, and being able to not give in to those and really shifting your mindset when that would come up. I'm curious if you have any like little insights into what that looked like. Like, how did you actually not give in? Because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering that.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I knew what to do, it was always about like, just don't do it. Like, just tonight, you're not going to do it, you know? It
was like, yeah, the advice that everyone tries to give you when you're like struggling with something, they're like, well don't. And you're like, okay, thanks. That was really helpful.
I know, right? So it's like, you know, I would try like distracting myself. I'd go to bed early. I'd, you know, book yoga classes in the evening because my binges were always in the evening. You know, drink tea and water and all these things. And I recognize that like, you can do that and manage your urges, but that doesn't prevent urges from arising like in the first place, or it doesn't prevent an urge from happening tomorrow or next week. So instead, what's more effective in terms of getting rid of your urges and just trying to willpower your way through is you need to create a state change in your body. So when you feel the urge to binge, your body is really creating a state change. It wants to go from discomfort to comfort, of course. So three main things that you can do when you feel the urge to binge is breath work, movement, or a cold shower. So movement, whether you like literally stand up and start shaking your body, like literally shaking your arms, shaking your legs, and it looks hilarious. And you're just like going to be like dancing over here, like shaking it out. But you do that for literally a minute that's a state change in your body. And you're going to start to recognize that like you're actually grounding your nervous system and you're less impulsive. So even if you do shake for, you know, a few minutes and you go and eat, you're less emotionally charged. It's like you've created a pattern interrupt between feeling the urge and giving in. And therefore it's like, again, you keep doing that, you're weakening the neural pathways in your brain. So movement, breathing, like even like a forceful exhale through your mouth. Like, again, looks funny, but it's like you do that for 30 seconds. You take a break and you complete that 3 or 4 times. You're going to even notice like clarity in your mind. You're getting out of your busy, chaotic mind. You're into your body where you can actually feel your body, feel the difference between a physical hunger cue and emotional hunger cue, and then cold therapy. So in my journey, this was one that like worked the best for me. It sucks hopping in a cold shower. I hate the cold, but you hop in a cold shower, you're going to come out of that shower feeling like a brand new freaking woman, like ready to take on the world. Like I've had so many of my clients be like, I don't even want to binge anymore. It's because it's like a complete shock to your system. It's a state change. So those things are more effective than just trying to willpower your way up. But one more thing I'll say, the difference between these things and distracting yourself is when you're distracting yourself, you're telling yourself, go for a walk so that you don't binge. Well, you want to binge. So the entire time you're going for a walk, you're going to be thinking about food. But instead, when you do these, just these three tools, you can choose one of them. And then you literally tell yourself, I can go eat afterwards as long as I do this one tool. Again, you go and eat, you're going to be less impulsive. So it's not, I got to go do this thing so that I don't eat, because then you're not going to want to use the tool. It's let me use the tool first, create a pattern interrupt, and then I can eat without impulse.
Love that. And I think it's so key to when we're doing this and healing with food and overcoming binge eating to really be like, this, you know, me riding this urge out is not me saying, no, I can't eat, because that's just like instilling more rules. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to backfire in the long run. Like if we're doing the tactics to overcome that urge just to not eat, period, then we're not actually making peace with food and we're not actually healing that. So I think that's a really important piece of like, I'm going to do this thing to overcome this urge, ride that wave out, and not just act impulsively, but I can still eat, because that is what we're doing. We're making peace with food and we're not leaning into more rules just to like get over the binge urge. So important. And I love how those are, you know, those tactics that you mentioned, really like what I'm hearing there is somatic work, like getting into your body instead of trying to figure it out in your mind, because your mind in those moments of the urge to binge is not gonna be reasonable. Like there's no way that you're gonna reason your way through and think your way through stopping that. Like your brain is just going gung ho down that pattern of binging when you get that urge. Yeah. So getting into your body and really doing the somatic work, I believe too, is just such a powerful tool to shift things for you. So I love that those are like really somatic practices.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, so good. Oh, I love this. And I think that's really helpful, you know, for everyone listening to be like, okay, yeah, how does that actually, what does this process look like? Because it's so good to have examples. And I'm sure that is like an amazing takeaway for folks to have. But I am curious, if you were to think about like one, if you had to just choose one, because I this is hard for me too, but okay, I'm curious what your thoughts are going to be. If you had to choose just like one top tip thing to do for the listeners to keep in mind while they're working on overcoming binge eating, what would that be? Like what would be your top suggestion or tip?
You know, I think a lot of the things that are coming to mind are things that I work with my clients on is pleasure. Mm. So you're binging because it's pleasurable. And if you literally just start adding more pleasure into your life, it's like the need to go and binge is going to dissipate. And it's pleasure in terms of, again, like you're bloated and you don't want to be intimate with your partner, but you go and you're be intimate with your partner anyways. Like that's satisfaction. Pleasure is a basic human need. You don't want to go out with your girlfriends on a Saturday night because you're uncomfortable in your body, and you go out and you laugh and you make memories and you have fun. You increase the amount of pleasure in your life, you're going to decrease the amount of binges that you're going to experience. So I think satisfaction and pleasure are both so important. Our brains are hardwired to move us in the direction of pleasure and away from pain. And right now your brain is seeing binging is pleasurable and not giving in is painful. And it's like, we got to really flip the switch there.
That's an impactful one. And I think goes really deep as well, because when we are struggling in these ways with food, you hold yourself back, like you're mentioning, from being intimate, from going out and hanging out with friends or going to different, like, I don't know, barbecues or parties or whatever it might be that can bring you pleasure, or even like going to an exercise class that you want to go to, but feeling uncomfortable in your body and then therefore food is holding you back from going there and doing that thing that you want to do, or just showing up for yourself in a bigger way and really going after your dreams. Like all of these things kind of lead, it's almost like a double-edged sword in a way, that the food struggles are preventing you from getting and doing life in the way that you want to, but then also that in turn is feeding into the food struggles.
Yes.
So yeah, it's pleasure and satisfaction are really big things to keep in mind and invite into life.
Yes, so important.
Love that. Love that. And this has been great, you know, going over your journey. And I'm just curious, is there anything else that you want to share, shed light on before we wrap up?
I think what I will say is, if you want to have less urges, you need to start honoring your cravings. And I know it's like the scariest thing to actually allow yourself to have some chocolate or honor your cravings. But the moment that you honor a craving is the moment you're going to have less urges, because cravings that you don't give into, they don't just go away. They don't go bye-bye. It's like they actually intensify and they build over time and they turn into urges. So you get to a point where you don't have a choice but to give in. So stop fearing your cravings. Remind yourself that, like, I can prevent binging on thousands of calories tonight if I just have some chocolate with my lunch. And I think that's going to be a really pivotal moment for a lot of people, just honoring your cravings. And then utilizing those three techniques that I shared. When you feel the urge to binge, not when you're experiencing a craving, you want to give into your cravings, but when you know you're feeling like this out of body experience, like you're feeling impulsive, that's when you really want to use those brain-based tools.
Yes, the cravings, they are tricky too, to like allow and have peace with allowing yourself to give into those cravings, because again, we're just taught not to, like, we shouldn't be having the chocolate with lunch or whatever the example is. But yeah, really allowing that peace with food to come in all different aspects, so that you can feel more chill around food. Like that's a thing, not letting it all compound up and then having those out of control experiences. So yeah. Oh, love that. Love that. Well, this has been a really lovely conversation, Lorna. I'm excited that you've shared your story here, and I think it'll be very inspiring and so many like little nuggets out of that as well. But I do have my fun little wrap-up questions for you, as I do with every guest on the podcast. And the first one being, since this is the Intuitively You podcast, how do you like to practice living intuitively in your life?
It's actually so funny, because I used to be like the most logical person ever. And I'm like, I don't have an intuition. I can't feel it. No, I'm not intuitive. Now I'm like extremely intuitive. And I honestly practice being intuitive in so many areas of my life, like with movement, you know, like, do I feel like going for a walk? Do I want to get in a hardcore workout? Do I need a rest? You know, do I need to sleep in? Do I need to get up? extra early this morning. So I really do it with like just every aspect of my life. Movement is a huge piece because I used to really force myself to just work out every day and burn off those calories. But even in my business, you know, like what feels right for me? Like what creative ideas do I have? Like, what do I want to say? What do I want to do? And that's a really, you know, important aspect of my life. It's just like my business being intuitive with what I want to do and what I want to say.
I love that. The movement thing so goes hand in hand with the relationship with food. So definitely can see that. And I can so relate to, you know, bringing intuition into business as well. And that's something that I'm really big on in my life and my business too, because it can get to be like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or anyone listening who is in the business world, like it can get to be like, if you pay attention to kind of like the business culture or like bro marketing or whatever we're thinking about, can get to be like, oh, do this, not that, or whatever, kind of like food is, which is funny. At being more intuitive in this space and not just like following the shoulds of business. It's very similar to food. And I've like noticed those parallels and how that can creep up. So I so appreciate that you brought that up. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. And then my other fun question for you is, if you were a food based on your personality, what food would you be?
I literally feel like I would be like a dragon fruit.
Okay.
Talking about like the, like just, I just feel like I've always been like different, and I feel like I've always been like very unique. And I feel like when you go to the grocery store, it's like everyone picks the apples, everyone picks the bananas, everyone picks the apples. And they're like, what is that thing over there? You know? And I feel like that's me. Like I'm this like unique, bubbly person. And it's like, you know, when you eat it, it tastes amazing. When you get to know me, it's amazing. But it's like, at first you're like this person looks so different from everyone else. Like, you know, I grew up and I just felt like I was like this oddball out all the time. Like I was just very like unique in a beautiful way, but I felt like I was like different in the not a good way. But yeah, I don't know. I would say like a dragon fruit, if that makes any sense.
That totally, I love that. Just like being unique, fun, out there, different. Like it's awesome and is really amazing when you can like lean into that and not like view those different uniquenesses about us in a weird way that society is trying to make us feel small. Like just embracing that and living your authenticity. I love that. Dragon fruit.
Yes.
So fun. Awesome. And where can the listeners connect with you?
Yeah. So I do have a podcast. It's the Ditch Decade Diets podcast. There's almost like 500 episodes. You guys can just binge on that. And then my Instagram is Lorna_bingeeatingcoach.
Awesome. Great. I will link those things, you know, for us and the listeners in the show notes so that they can connect with you. And yeah, thank you just again so much for sharing your story. I think, like I said at the beginning, hearing stories and going through them and knowing we're not alone in this journey, and even like, you know, seemingly like say, for example, you and I, we seem like we're, you know, way past those struggles, but we've been there too. I think just remembering that and hearing that and listening to that can give people so much hope. So thank you for, you know, coming on here and sharing authentically and a little glimpse into your journey of overcoming these struggles with food.
Yeah, absolutely. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much for listening to the Intuitively You podcast. You can find the show notes from today's episode along with all the takeaways at theintuitivenutritionist.com/podcast. Let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at the.intuitive.nutritionist. Be sure to share and tag me when you're listening along. And if you're loving the podcast, I would be so honored for you to go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button and leave a review. I'm so happy you're here and learning how to better your relationship with food, your body, and yourself. Until next time, keep on living intuitively you.